We welcome you to another live edition of the Sports Box, brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And by our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and check them out at www.crowdplayapp.com for details. Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cage My IQ. I'm your host, D-Bake. Join with me is recent BKFC sensation, Britton Hart. How's it going, Britton?
Oh, I'm doing so great. Happy Tuesday.
Yep. As you guys know, she fought back in February, and she beat recent signee Paige VanZant in a great victory. How did it feel to pick up that victory against her, considering that she was getting hyped up after being signed?
I mean, it was everything I had hoped for and planned for. You know, I've kind of dreamed about it before, you know, with fights. I always had the mentality to be a champion. I had to beat a champion because I didn't come from money. I had bad management in the beginning, so my career was like all over the place. So due to mismanagement and just some other unfortunate things in my life, I just knew I would never really have the money and backing to get to where I needed to without making a huge statement and rolling the dice. So I always roll the dice and I kind of fell short. So with Paige VanZant, it was just one of those times in my life. I knew that this was it and that I'm not going to lose this opportunity and I'm going to show the world who I really am. And I got to do that. And it was definitely a dream come true. Definitely changed my life and my course of my life and kind of show the world what I'm made of.
Before we get started with a few of my questions, knowing that you're in the BKFC, how have you enjoyed your time with the company and how do you like the owners right now?
Yeah, I mean, it first started when I fought Beck Rawlings. So ironically, I was the main event for that fight. And I mean, at first I was kind of questioning it, but once I, made the decision, I committed myself 100%. So there was that fight. And then moving forward, you know, they're a new sport and they're definitely the fastest growing combat sport in sport in general. So they're definitely moving mountains. They're working at a high pace and there was a lot of negative people in the beginning. So to kind of see that and see them grow with that, it for me as a fighter, it kind of aligns myself directly with them because I've been in that predicament before where people didn't believe in me and there were some things that were like, you know, up and down. And I think that they're still, you know, when they're trying to figure that out and they have their ups and downs too, you know, it's just kind of understanding it and empathizing that they're new and trying to figure it out. But I think overall they treat their fighters really good and they've done what they could, you know.
Yep. And something that I've talked to with several of the other fighters that are in there with you guys is how does it feel to have a guy like Shaq invested in the BKFC? Because whatever he touches, it seems like lately, turns to gold with whatever he invests in.
Right. No, it was really good. It was, honestly, I couldn't believe it. When I was sitting there, it was so cool, like, seeing him be MVIP and, like, seeing that person you know, just watching and then commentating. So it was so cool. I remember I went and got a picture with Shaq. And at first I was like, I'm not going to take a picture with him because this is our sport and he's going to have to ask to take a picture. But I ended up being introduced to him from Dave. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go get my picture with him. So it's really cool because it shows you the level of greatness and the level of people that we're attracting and that we're around. And I think it goes back to like that old cliche quote, you know, if you want to be great, you got to surround yourself with greatness.
Yeah. And I definitely like how you guys are creating your own niche within the sport and how you're not trying to, I wouldn't say compete with anybody, but like I said, creating your own niche. And it's usually on Friday nights, which is a good night for you guys. And it's attracting quite a bit of people now in the past year, more than usual. How do you feel about that?
I love it. Again, it's kind of goes back for me being on the second one. Like, that's so cool. Like, I was there in the early stages of it. And it was Now I stayed with it. I was in the fifth one. And now look at it, you know, it kind of pays off. Like my loyalty and keeping back and being in good standings with them has really paid off to now where I was on Knucklemania, the biggest event. And now there's just high hopes of even bigger events coming up.
Yeah, most definitely. But let me get started with a couple of questions I have for you growing up. How was life like growing up for you? And then did you play any sports as a kid?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So my life is really weird. It's got a lot of twists and turns. And you can see that, you know, as a child to my younger years to now. But basically, I was born in Utah and then I moved to Turkey. And then I lived in Turkey for a few years and then moved to Germany. So most of my childhood years was in Germany. So I actually didn't move to the United States until I was almost 11 years old. So, you know, when I was over in Germany, I played soccer. Soccer was the sport over there. And there was a couple girls on my team, but we played co-ed. There was no girls and boys. So I was used to playing with the boys. And soccer in Europe is very, very much different. They go really hard. It's their life. So I was used to that rough and tumble. And growing up in Germany, you know, I remember walking to the parks and it's kind of like, you know, you wouldn't dare leave your child alone today in today's society and world. But when I was younger, you know, it was one of those go play in the park and show up at the house at 7 o'clock when it's time for dinner. And so a lot of the times, you know, I was definitely, you know, rough and wild as a kid. You know, I would come home with snakes and, you know, scorpions. And, you know, I was definitely very fearless. I like to climb trees and do all that crazy stuff. Then moving to the United States, I was bullied in school until I demonstrated and started playing soccer. And once I could show my skills in soccer, I started becoming valuable and people started respecting me. In my middle school and high school years, you know, I played varsity soccer as a freshman. I was varsity freshman and sophomore, and I was captain junior and senior. And definitely I was voted MVP 1 year. And just really soccer was my first sport. I played basketball. I was actually just telling someone a story. I used to be really, really good, but I kept getting suspended and kicked off the team for fighting. So after one ground and pound with one girl in basketball, they said I couldn't play anymore. So I moved on from that sport. You know, I did cross country. I played powder puff football. Once again, it was awesome until we broke out into a mass fight and everyone got involved. So got pulled out of powder puff. So that's kind of, I always, you know, I went to school and I went and got my college degree in sport management. So my passion has always been sports and what sports symbolize and what sports mean. So I've always had a huge passion for it. I've always been super competitive and I've always been super tough and fearless. So it's just, that's, you know, how I was born. Basically, I was born and raised and my whole life has been nothing but that.
Now, when you were living in Turkey and Germany, did you have to speak the language or because you're growing up there, or did you speak English and then learned a little bit just so you could interact with the other kids?
Yeah, so in Turkey, I was 3 to 5, so I don't really remember that much. But in Germany, we did. I actually lived off base because it was an Air Force brat. So we lived off base. So we lived in Kaiserslautern. So we had to speak it because our landlords were all German and the town was German. And I actually had to ride the city bus into the school that was on the Air Force base. And then when I was in school, it was required that we took 2 German, you know, and 1, you know, and in English and math and everything like that. So anyways, I had to speak it when I was a kid. So yeah, I was very fluent with it. But so I was 5 to 10 when I lived in Germany. So when I came over from Germany to the United States, I spoke German, and then people would like get me to speak German, and then they would like kind of laugh and make fun of me and call me German girl. So I stopped speaking German for a long time. And then when I went to high school, ironically, I started, all my friends took French as their foreign language. So I just followed and took French. And then when I went to college, I continued on French. So now I can speak, you know, pretty well in French, but I forgot how to speak fluent in German.
Now, how did you feel? Like, did you feel get great satisfaction in getting your degree? And how did it feel to obtain your master's after that?
Oh man, I look back on it, and if I try to get my master's right now, it's like, I don't know how I did it. Like, there's no way I could do it right now. Like, I just had such a strong mind, and I was like so determined when I was, you know, at that age and everything going on. I mean, the fact that I did it is amazing. I'm glad I did, because it just goes to show, you know, I could have made so many excuses and been like, oh, I'll come back and finish it. I need to work, or I'll just take a couple classes at a time. But if I would have done that, who knows if I would have finished it. So it just kind of shows I have a very, very strong don't quit attitude. And so when I got my master's and started it, I hated it. It was so hard. It was a lot of extra work. I suffered papers. I did a 56-page thesis, just tons of stuff that go into it. But when I finished it, it was such an accomplishment. And even now, you know, at age 31, I can say I have my master's degree. I might have not really used it to its full potential, but I have it, and I finished it, and I didn't give up.
Do you think you're ever planning to use it after you're done fighting, or in the future, near future, or do you not know yet?
Yeah, I, you know, honestly, I'm focusing on boxing and fighting, but it's not my end. You know, I don't want to fight forever. I mean, you know, there are consequences to it and things, you know, like that. But I do want to become a legend in the sport. I do want to, you know, I do want to be a champion, get a title. So that's my focus. But after that, yeah, there's a lot of different things. I mean, I kind of started off with the, you know, the dream I'd own my own gym and have my own gym and really kind of help kids that are in like lower income and don't have, you know, access to gym memberships and to boxing lessons like everybody else would. So that wasn't originally my first thought. But honestly, going through the professional level and having my management degree and working in corporate sales and professional sports, I think that it would be really awesome to be like work in managing other fighters. And then they would be able to respect me, one, because I'm a fighter, but two, I'm a successful fighter. I'm going to be world champ. I'm going to be a champion. I'm going to be a legend in the sport. And they're also going to see I'm a good person, that I didn't cut any corners and that I didn't take any shortcuts. I do have my degree and that I've, you know, have a good reputation. I never lied or stole or I've cut, you know, done anything wrong in the industry for people to really talk negative about me. Besides, I mean, anyone who hates on me is because they're jealous, they can't have me, or they don't understand me. It's not because I didn't do anything wrong, negative, to hurt them. So I think that will really be great in a management role, in managing fighters and doing that and being very prosperous in that. And then kind of maybe having the gym on the side. I don't know, who knows? But I do want to use it for sure. It's just maybe not right now because training, I'm telling you, training and being so focused on this is definitely not a hobby. It's a lifestyle, and it's every day waking up and thinking just that.
And definitely with you, because you definitely seem like a big grinder, which is a good thing, which shows that you want to put in the hard work to get the results.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, again, that seems to be something at least I've held on to from, you know, from day one. So what I tell everyone, if I choose to do something, I'm 100% committed. If I'm in it and doing it, it's because I'm going to finish it and get the job done. So.
Yep. Now hearing you say that you did soccer, you did track, you did basketball, and then you went and got your degree in college. What led you from that point to learning boxing? How did that get all started?
Yeah, actually, it's a really unfortunate reason, but I actually got into a lot of legal trouble. You know, I was in a very abusive, toxic relationship, and so that kind of spiraled out of control. So once I got into all those problems, I was in and out of court. You know, I was being arrested, and you know, I really thought my life was over. I thought my life was over. I thought I worked so hard, and that how could I put so much strength and effort into, you know, raising my kids and getting my master's degree and always being perfect. You know, I was always trying and striving to be perfect. You know, I graduated with a 4.0. I mean, in my family life and my, you know, it was just that stress. And then to go down like that, I thought my life was over. And I found myself in a boxing gym just to escape reality and to shut everything off on just outside world problem. And really, I just wanted, it was almost like I was in searching for something to like be more painful than what I was going through. And so I thought that boxing would be more painful and help take the pain away. But it ended up, you know, it wasn't exactly what I thought it would be, but I guess it worked out to be greater because, you know, it did take the pain away, but not by putting a bigger pain there, but kind of solving it and giving me a purpose, letting me use my degree, letting me touch the lives of other people and know that rock bottom, you can work out of it. And then and still have that mentality, don't quit. You know, a lot of people wouldn't hire me because of my background and some of the things I was going through. So I found other ways to make money, and you know, fighting helped me do that. And it was an ends to a mean, and or a means to an end. And you know, so once I started, it was like, I tell everyone, it's as scary. It was like I sold my soul away, because once I had my first pro fight, it was like the most craziest feeling in the world. Like everything I've done in my past completely out the window, didn't even matter, because everything brought me to that moment right there. And that's where I was supposed to be. And ever since then, I truly have not looked back. I couldn't, you know, everything since that first pro fight has been, and even with, I've had some horrible things happen to me in the last past 5 years. And it's always been boxing and fighting that saved me and brought me back. And now you can really see it starting. The past year has really unfold into really what I thought I was meant to do, and get people believe in me and support me and really kind of inspire other people again from my story being so different than other traditional boxers on what the power of believing is and to change your life.
So would you say that when you're training, it's a nice way to get yourself away from your every ordinary life, and then you get to let all that anger out in a more organic, positive way, because you're using it towards training rather than doing something destructive or something that you might regret?
Yeah, it wasn't even really, I mean, anger is one emotion. I know it's funny, you know, we'll talk about, you know, I talk about being a feeling and everything, but it was a lot of feelings. And honestly, the number one feeling that I think I went through that a lot of people don't really talk about, a lot of fighters assume, oh, I need to get, you know, anger out, I have anger, but mine was more of like anxiety. You know, I couldn't, it was like a million things. It was like, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. What if, what if, what if? And it was like, my brain was like always ping-ponging all over the place. So in boxing, you can't think, and in fighting, you can't think about a million things.
You gotta focus.
Yeah, you gotta focus on what's in front of you or you're gonna get hurt. I mean, people are trying to hit you. And even when you're, you know, even when I'm hitting the bag or the speed bag, it, you have to focus, because if your mind wanders, you're not gonna be able to do the task that's in front of you. So for me, it was more of like solving the emotion of anxiety and letting my mind race. It kind of kept me controlled and gave me something purposeful to do that way. But yeah, sure, when I was angry, oh yeah, like every person, when I'm getting angry, I go hit the hell out of that bag. But more so, it's something to give my attention and focus.
Now, what would you say is a typical week of training consisting of? Is there a set schedule, or does it depend on if you have a fight or not?
Well, I will, it's definitely fluctuated over the years. So the question is a little bit, we could get more specific, like in training camp, what my schedule is like, or overall. Cause I mean, in training camp, I usually push it a little bit, pedal to the metal. But now since I've had this fight with Paige and I'm in a way better area, I'm in a definitely better state of mind than I've ever been, my training is definitely reflected of that. So yeah. I have a schedule to fight in May. So I kind of have been acting like I'm in training camp, but really that schedule, I mean, basically it's like 7 o'clock, wake up, I do strength and conditioning, and that's for like an hour. And then we'll eat breakfast and stuff like that. And then we have like a team workout from 1 to 2:30. So it's like a 90-minute workout, and it's very, very hard and intensive. Sometimes in between that, we'll run. We'll do like 3-mile run. We'll come back in the evening and do just pad work. There are certain days we'll go and spar and add that on. But long story short, no matter what, it's working out 3 times a day. So rather that be a strength and conditioning, back work, and sparring or mitt work or running or the bike. It's 3 sessions that are usually like an hour and a half long. So, you know, it's like 4 or 5 hours a day at least.
Now, with the boxing, have you ever thought about training anybody, or do you train at all?
Yeah, I do. I post, if you follow me on Instagram at Team Britain Heart, you'll see that I work with I work with this one girl at Knuckleheads. Me and Jenna help her, Seisan. She's awesome. She's a 13-year-old teenager. Oh, that's great. Yeah. And I do privates with her all the time. And you can see, you can follow the Instagram. I post videos and you can see her progress. And it's awesome. I worked with, in Virginia, I personally trained about like three people consistently, and then I cornered about three or four fighters in Virginia, and both MMA and boxing. Oh, that's cool. So they were pretty cool to trust me with that. And now I'm in Florida, so I'm in Miami, and I teach boxing now at BoxR Studios Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you're in the Miami area, definitely come and check it out. It's awesome. So those classes are at 7 a.m. So again, definitely full of like strength and conditioning and boxing. But I'm teaching those classes, and then I'm going to actually start getting privates and do personal training down here in Miami. We just had a meeting about it yesterday. So I'm super excited to announce my partnership with BoxR Studios and being on there as a staff and as a trainer.
How do you like doing all that? Does it give you great satisfaction? Give it back to boxing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You'll see, I go back to Danville all the time, Danville, Virginia, which is Lux Boxing Club. And I teach those kids there and teach kids boxing class for free, just because I love those kids. I love the feeling and the empowerment. I love giving back. I remember what it felt like that no one was there for me and no one had my back. And those were the places that had it. And so I'll always give back in that sense, no matter what. My heart will always belong and go to that gym and give back to them for nothing in return. I don't want anything from that gym but them to smile and be good and grow up to be great adults. Like, that's my only wish and dream and payment from that. As far as down here, yeah, absolutely. Like, when it's just a different kind of feeling. It's kind of like magical when you have someone who doesn't know how to throw a jab or cross, and then you get them on the pads, and after 10 or 15 minutes, they're throwing a jab and cross. And you should see the look on their face of like accomplishment, like, wow, I can do this. And it's a really good feeling when you get to teach someone. It's just honestly, I really can't stress enough to everyone that everyone wants to think me, me, me and take. But the best feeling you can get is to give. And when you give and you know, give knowledge especially and make someone learn something new, it's an indescribable feeling.
Exactly. Everybody that I interview and talk to, that's all they say is they love giving back to the sport because of how they've got into it. They want to give back as their way of just doing so, because they feel like it's their, not their job to, but they feel like that's what they should do to keep it going. Because the more people that can get in, the better it is for everybody as a whole.
Absolutely.
But how does it feel to be an internet sensation after the Paige VanZant fight, and then everybody talking to you about you for your body shots that you like to connect with? That's all I hear about is how you throw the best body shots.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that yet, so that's awesome. That made my day to hear that. You know what? It's kind of funny. I've heard it. Commentators, they always say, Britain headhunts, she headhunts. So I really did start the last 2 years, I would say, what was it? It was when I fought Unique Harris in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, whenever that was. It was probably like 2 years ago. But ever since that fight, I have been like zoning in on the priority of body shots. And I feel like I've definitely finally got the connection and see the boxing IQ and how important they are. So I do love going to the body. So I'm super happy to hear that people are noticing that I'm picking up those skills and doing that. Yeah. Oh yeah. That clinch work was so great in that fight. It was amazing to be able to do that. But yeah, I know it's still kind of shocking sometimes to think that I did that and went in there. I still feel pretty normal. I mean, my life is definitely less stressful. So I'm happy for that. My life is less stressful and I feel more driven and more closer to my goal. But, I still feel like the same Britain Heart at the end of the day.
How do you handle time between training and then with your kids? I know it can probably get very hard, but how do you manage time between the two?
I don't think I do. I just, it seems like it's just go, go, go constantly. But it's all good stuff. You know, it's all really good stuff. I have nothing negative to say. We're always doing something fun and making the best and going here, going there and spending time. You know, we're making time for family when it counts, making time for holidays when it counts, for birthdays when it counts. You know, so those are definitely not falling short. You know, I've gone back, like, again, to Danville. I've gone back to Knuckleheads. I've gone back to the places that had my back from day one. And I fill the holes in that way. And then in between training, I mean, really, it's just, you know, kind of working on recovering, also working on relationships and spending that time positively, just enjoying life, like, walking, you know, being, I sit in the sauna, Cairo, we go to the Cairo room. It's also in Miami. They're super awesome people and kind of just, you know, being basically just hanging out and keeping it, again, very focused on boxing and people with alike minds. So there's really not a minute I'm away from those core values of fighting, family, and being positive.
One other question I usually ask everybody, what are some of your hobbies that you do to kind of zone out from training? Because I know a lot of people do too much of that, and then they want to get away from it for a little while just to have that time away. Do you have any hobbies?
Oh, yeah, I do. I warn people on it, too, actually, that, you know, it is very easy to get burnt out. And I never want to be burnt out on something I love. So once I find something to be like, ooh, I don't look forward to this and I don't love it. I mean, training is different. Training camp, you know, of course, it's supposed to be hard. But when it comes to be like that every day, it's like, you know, so I always incorporate another sport. So that's a big thing. So, you know, whether I play pickup soccer, I did that for like 3 years as an adult when I was boxing. And then before COVID, I got really big into racquetball. So I was playing racquetball. So when COVID happened, I was really upset because I thought I was going to be pro in racquetball too. But now, I'm super happy. I guess I can say that the movie theater is open here. So I just went and watched Mortal Kombat. It's like, seriously, you guys, it's a 10. It's a 10. It's the best movie ever. I loved it. So I had a super fun time watching that movie. And, I watched another movie called Nobody. Yeah, so, you know, just, again, keeping it positive, going to the movies, stuff that's like, Coach Haas taught me it from Knuckleheads Boxing, but active recovery. So being, you know, because I always do too much and want to go run. He says, no, you got to rest and recovery. Active recovery is like watching movies, taking a stroll, you know, doing something that's light. But yeah, I've had a blast doing that kind of stuff. Like I said, Mortal Kombat, best movie ever.
Yeah, definitely. Me and the kids just watched it Friday at home. And the kids loved it. The oldest, he's 11, was like, my favorite is Jax. That's my favorite. And then for me, being nostalgic, it sucked that Johnny Cage was in it. But that's just me. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And then I really liked Scorpion and then Sub-Zero, how they incorporated the new version of Mortal Kombat. If people watched the animated one from last year, they would know that they went off of that. So,
yep, exactly. Because I play the video games too. So I guess I should take that too as a hobby. So I'm very big into video games as well. So I play the video game and it followed the story mode in the Mortal Kombat video game. So the whole time I was like, oh, this is so great. And then it was awesome at the end when he was like going to Hollywood. I was like, oh, that makes sense. So,
and then they showed the poster. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was so great.
Now, one of my last questions before I let you go, what's next for Bret Hart?
Well, I was super excited. I made a post on my IG saying, you know, because I heard Monday right before that I was for sure fighting in May. So I wanted to announce to everybody on Wednesday that I am indeed fighting May, but there's been some complications with it. Yeah. It doesn't look like BKFC is having an event in May. So I do want to announce that what's next for Bret Hart is whoever they want to give me. And I do mean whoever. they want to give me for June 18th, I will definitely fight them. I want the title more than anything. Whatever gets me closer to the title, I'm going to do. And that's what I want. And so that's what I want. That's who I got to step up to. My management, Kevin Smith with Smith Brothers Combat Sports, will take care of it. Dave Feldman, you know, BKFC, he will take care of it. But I am ready to fight whoever, and that's just as easy as it is for what's next for Bret Hart. Give me the date, June 18th. I'm showing up, and I'm showing up hard.
And then last question, how much have you felt that you've improved since your debut with the BKFC?
Mountains. You know, when you saw me with Beck, like, damn, I wish I could go back. If I knew what I knew now with Beck Rawlings, I would destroy her. You know, there was a lot of the things that you can see that I've improved on. You know, there was really just, you know, and really it was just more confidence with Beckett and being still on my feet. I still feel like I won that fight, that knockdown kind of gave it away for me. But I really honestly know who I am as a fighter now. I've really found who I am as a fighter, and I really have been owning it. I think people have seen it the last 3 fights I've had, 2 fights in BKFC, 1 in boxing, but I've really found out who I am as a fighter and my style. And, you know, I think it's a landslide different from where people used to say, oh, she just headhunts. Oh, her footwork is too jumpy and erratic. She doesn't have defense. People used to tell me that all the time, that I have no defense at all. And I think that you can see lots of great defensive skills that I possess. My footwork, everyone says, is phenomenal. Everyone thinks my boxing and my ring movement and generalship is amazing. So I know how to cut off the ring effectively. Like, I've really learned that. Just some key things that you learn. And because I was on the fast track with boxing and I was on the fast track with BKFC, I've really picked it up.
Exactly. And you had people that didn't think you were going to win against Paige VanZant, and then you went out and you beat her, and then you beat her up. That's what I tell people. You beat her up. That's why she looked the way she did after the fight, and then she definitely got humbled afterwards when you won. And I tell people to watch out for you, because you're going to be, there's a reason you're a sensation now in the BKFC.
Thank you. And that means a lot. And I'm still, you know, like I said, I'm still staying, you know, humble and everything. But my thing is really, I still have so much more to learn and so much more that I promise I can say it, you know, time and time again. And I will own up to it. When you guys have seen the best of Bret Hart, I will tell you, you've seen the best. But I'm not even close to it yet. So it's just exciting to see what else is going to come and what really truly is next. I hope all the fans and everyone watching and super excited to see me, and it really be an amazing process to see a fighter from day one to now in their progress and then only get better, and that makes an exciting fighter.
Yeah, and that's what I like, is like you're staying humble and you want to always get better even when you're still doing good. But I would like to thank you for coming on with us today. I appreciate the time that you took out for me, and I wish you the best of luck in June, because I'm definitely going to be rooting for you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And maybe when we get closer, you know, we can talk about whoever's next and whoever opponent that, you know, I willingly get in front of. We'll see. So we'll talk about that too. So I'm super excited to keep everyone up to date on that. So thank you for taking the time. And I really appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I hope you have a nice rest of your night.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. That was Bret Hart, the new sensation in BKFC. I would like to thank her for coming on. I'm definitely going to root for her in June, so keep out June 18th, because she should be fighting. You can follow her right here at Team Bret Hart right there. So definitely give her a follow, and then give her some comments and give her some love. She's the new sensation in BKFC. But thank you guys for tuning in to the interview with BKFC featherweight contender Bret Hart. Once again, this is Cage by Q, the best place for MMA content. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Subscribe to our Twitch and YouTube channel. All of our content's on YouTube, so definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel and check out all the content and give us comments and feedbacks on all of our videos. And once again, I'm your host, D-Bake, and this was the interview with Britton Hart. And you guys have a wonderful rest of your night. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for watching this episode of Cage My IQ on the Sports Box. Please remember to follow us on all of our social media outlets. On Facebook at Sports Box Show, Twitter at Sports Box Show, Instagram at The Sports Box Show. Find us on YouTube and join Outside the Box, our Facebook sports discussion group. The Sports Box is brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And also our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and use promo code THEBOX at sign up for 10 free points. Thank you for joining us.